League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
So we were just talking in the break about some things we probably shouldn't talk about on the air, but can I just tell you guys?
Teeth.
There's people other than the people you mentioned in much lower places that are willing to talk a lot more about that topic. But evidently, Carl, you were like, you're not going to shake hands because of the fact that you just heard that story. Dude, I shower and wash my hands. But if you want to get into all that, that's the whole Raheel Berry thing about how Berry keeps a running list of who washes their hands when they use the bathroom here. And if you don't wash your hands, you make the list and you can't ever get off of it. So Raheel intentionally always looks like he's going to fist bump and then puts his whole hand over Berry's fist.
Oh, like gear shift. They call it gear shift.
Yeah, it's like Stevie Williams and Tiger Woods when they couldn't figure out why they should high five or not.
Yeah, so, you know, the kids do it now. They'd be like, fist bump, and be like, gear shift. That's the only reason why it's pretty cool.
Wow. And then there's that. So before we get into a reset of the show and talk about the top stories in sports, let's get TC in here. He wants to talk about diaper changes. What's up?
What's up, guys? By the way, I'm enjoying the show.
Appreciate that, man.
I've got my daughter, who's my oldest, was out of diapers, and I had my little boy. Mm-hmm. And the first time we bring him home, I'm going to change him. And when they're that little, I don't know what I can say, but their parts are different.
Yeah, he's got outdoor plumbing. She doesn't. Yep.
Yeah, I go to start to change him, and I'm talking to my wife at the time. She's like, you really got to be careful because, their parts are different. He can literally pee in your face. She had had a stepson, and I was like, yeah. So I turned back around at that moment, and sure enough,
sniper.
Like a hose. Yeah, like a hose with a high pressure attachment to it. It just, I was astonished by the fact that he could reach my face. And I got a splash full, and I'm having to tell myself, it's baby pee. It's really not, it can't be dirty. It doesn't even treat anything but milk. So anyway, that's my story. It's kind of a rough one, but
hey, it's still pee. Hey, you know, the crazy part is, and TC, I think this is a great call.
Yeah, good call.
Because when changing the diaper, did you ever forget to tuck him down when you close the diaper and leave it up? And then when the first time they pee, it literally comes through the top of the open, and you're like, oh man, now I got to change it again.
Yeah. So
exactly. Now one time is okay, but if it happens twice, you're not learning.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm legendary in my family because my mom and my sister and thankfully because my sister and I we've had our odds in the past in a very sarcastic way, but I think my sister's still bitter because my mom used to make my sister put a clean diaper over the pea shooter whenever she changed me because I think on three successive occasions it was like hitting the clown's mouth at the fair.
And this is the fabulous sister that's listening to us right now.
All the time. She always listens to us in Wisconsin. There's nothing else to do in Wisconsin, and especially with the weather they've had. If you saw the Packers-Seahawks game, Nick, you saw they did a hell of a job with the field. But everything around it, they've been getting pretty hard. So, lots of snow. All right, so as we reset the show, we got the big stories. Texans with only their second win in 15 tries at Indy to stay tied for the division lead. So we had people calling in talking about that. We talked about the dirty plays in the NFL yesterday, and there were a lot of them.
The dirty diapers.
Yeah, we've talked about dirty diapers. We talked about Lane Kiffin finally getting the job that was not the one that it probably was rumored to get, but one that Travis says he will succeed at. Charlie Strong, by the way, over the weekend also landed a job at Florida International. Where did Charlie Strong end up?
He's at Florida. No. Charlie Strong is at USF, South Florida.
South Florida. And Florida Atlantic for Lane Kiffin. So as Travis said, recruiting just got a whole lot, hell of a lot harder in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
We talked about the Demo situation. Jeff Fisher got fired at the Rams, which I think we all can agree is overdue, but don't feel sorry for him since he just signed a two-year extension. He's getting paid for this year and two more.
Well, they say the second year was a team option, so he's really only getting paid for the following year.
Sadly enough, he'll be coaching in the NFL again by then. If not in someone's studio,
I don't think he'll be a head coach
again.
Right, but he's coaching in the NFL.
He'll coach.
I think he's been head coach so long, you almost forget what Jeff Fisher.
You just made a noise like if my daughter was going to let loose with another one of those bombs.
Yeah, because I'm trying to figure out what is his specialty. Is he an offensive coach or defensive coach?
Well, he played secondary at SC, right?
I know he played secondary at SC.
Special teams guy in the NFL.
Yeah, so the question is he a special teams?
I don't know.
Is he going to be a special teams coach?
I don't
coordinator?
Know. I mean, that's what I would guess, but I don't know. Or I'd go secondary or special teams.
Because I don't know if he has the...
His son's on the staff. I wonder if he maintained his job.
Yeah, for right now. And John Fossil is the coach.
I know what we didn't talk about that you were passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
The Heisman Trophy.
Yeah. I mean, the Heisman Trophy, I'm glad. I thought Lamar Jackson deserved the Heisman Trophy. I think you have to go back and look at it. You say at the end, yeah, maybe you question whether or not, but I mean, the guy scored 8 touchdowns in a quarter. You know what I mean? Before a half in one game.
More than anything else, from start to finish, he had the least amount of big downward slides, like a bad game or two.
But I think the Heisman Trophy, the voting itself. Mm-hmm. Bought up a lot bigger problem that I have with the Heisman Trophy.
And we
Trophy
started that conversation on because, Friday, but I don't disagree with you.
Because there was a guy who sent out a tweet that said he voted for this was the way he voted, and he voted for McCaffrey in front of Dalvin Cook. And everybody's sitting there like, well, how would you vote for McCaffrey in front of Dalvin Cook on this season? He said, well, the only time I saw Dalvin Cook play was against Louisville. And Dalvin Cook, he didn't have a great game against Louisville. Right. Neither did anybody on the Florida State football team. But when you say that, that further lets me know that you do not watch the game. Mm-hmm. Florida State played 4 primetime games after that Louisville game. Primetime 8:00 games. So the fact that you didn't see that means you didn't see Deshaun Watson. That means you didn't see a couple other guys who also were in the Heisman Trophy talk. So you shouldn't have a vote. So in my opinion, if you aren't watching football all the time, I think the coaches, in my opinion, I think the coaches in college football, all the coaches and the guys who in the past winners are the only people who should be allowed to vote.
It's interesting because as much as people say it's not political, as much as people – I mean, look, there's a lot of people that used to cover college football on a regular basis that aren't even covering college football anymore or covering it – on a regular basis, and they have votes. You know, there's people at other radio stations here in town that are on the voting committee, and you're like, and they're covering who?
Exactly.
You know, that to me, I think they need to reevaluate.
They have to because
this goes back to Guy V getting into the Hall of Fame too. The Hall of Fame. Calvin Murphy used to tell me all the time he was on the committee, but he saw how much it was politics and good old boys, and when he started trying to put his foot down and say, it's not right. Guy V belongs in. And the resistance he got, he goes, you know what? I don't belong on this committee then, because if it can't be done fairly and rightly in a way in which everybody can say you got it right, then I don't want to be a part of it.
And that's my whole thing. Yeah, was Lamar Jackson going to win the Heisman Trophy? Probably. But I think with all of these things, you see the voting. Like, I'm watching games and I'm seeing them vote for these guys who – Christian McCaffrey's been hurt all year long.
Yeah, it's a preseason thing. I get it. He was rumored to be a top 3 Heisman guy. But based on how the season went,
he was hurt all year long. You can't even put him in your top 10 for Heisman this year. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So how is it that you continue to, like, you can't allow that. People have to lose votes for that. People have to, in my opinion, you take away these people's votes. If you don't want to vote fairly, if you don't want to vote with people who actually watch the game, in my opinion, I'd rather have you give all the ESPN broadcasters, all the TNT, all the CBS, all the ABC, the sports guys that actually watch the sport and speak on the sport, and give all the coaches votes along with the former players. I would be okay with that because I know.
I mean,
because
I look at it too and say Dalvin Cook as a running back, because you can't consider Fournette either because Fournette was hurt all year.
Yeah, he was hurt all year.
But when you look at the fact that Peppers, to me, he's a hell of a player, and he's going to play on the next level and be a hell of a player. Yeah. But to be a Heisman candidate.
He was a Heisman candidate because of the way he scored and the things that he did. I mean, the man had 700-plus all-purpose yards.
I think Westbrook came on like a stud and a half, and he's got a lot of talent.
But I don't think he should have been there either. He shouldn't have been there, and neither should
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield shouldn't have been there. And I just it to me was, I think it's hurtful to kids that are actually deserving it to be there, that you don't give them the right opportunity.
I think the main thing, just like anything else in life, is just get it right. And if it isn't right, then fix it. That's the easiest way to say that. All right, we're here till 4 o'clock, and our man Clarence, who came to see us at Trailer Wheel and Frame on Friday, is going to chime in on the Heisman, and we'll have a whole lot more discussion between now and 4 o'clock. We do this every day, Monday through Friday, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Otherwise known as Love American Style. No, not really. But always much love for my boy Trap and Nick Behind the Glass as we continue to roll on with a show that has a lot of ground to cover, and we've covered quite a bit of it, but it never ends. So before we get into any more change of topics, we talked about the Heisman leading into this. So we want to come out of it by getting Clarence on the line, who wants to talk about the Heisman and the voting. And Clarence, it was a pleasure to meet you on Friday. What's up? Welcome back to the show.
Hey, what's up, Joe, Trap, Nick? How y'all doing today?
What's going on?
What up, man?
Well, I don't have a problem with who won the Heisman. You know, everybody has a problem with the voting, but you have to consider what the Heisman Trophy means. It doesn't mean just the best offensive player or the best person on the field. It also means the best person all around and what you do for your team. And that's why I don't have a problem with Lamar Miller and him winning it, because of what he did with this team. Clarence, let me stop you there.
Yeah. We never said we had a problem with Lamar Jackson. We said Lamar Jackson from start to finish
deserved the Heisman.
No, I know he deserved it. I was just saying, the problem I had with the voting is the same thing I have with the Baseball Hall of Fame voting. It's all these old heads who want to stick to tradition and always not looking at every game or everything that they do for the team. And getting the voting wrong. Like, some people I feel deserve to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, like Pete Rose or Barry Bonds, just because of the pure number factor, and they don't get in. It's the same problem I have with the baseball and their voting and their Heisman trophies. And all these people who have their hand in the pot who don't necessarily pay attention to everything that's going on because they're doing other things. They're not up watching every single game like some people do, every single person. They'll watch, okay, one game, like, man, this is a really bad game. I don't think I should vote for him.
I would say this, though. I don't think there's any more corrupt voting system in any of the sports for any of the halls or honors, college or pro, than baseball. I just think that you got guys that covered baseball 50 years ago that are still getting ballots that probably haven't watched a game in its entirety without falling asleep and wetting a diaper. And they get as much pull as a guy that's a beat writer. In a lot of cases, more, because you got to get all those beat writers involved because they watch more baseball than anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think a guy like Tim Kirchen, who
ESPN.
I like Tim Kirchen.
He's solid.
He's very solid and watches a lot of baseball. Knows his baseball.
Yep.
I think you got to make sure all those guys are on his level. If you're going to have the vote, and you're going to have people's lives at stake. It's like, Ken Griffey got the most.
Should have been unanimous.
It should have been unanimous, but let's say it's out of 100 votes, he got 99.
Yep.
Like, what idiot was the guy who didn't vote for Ken Griffey to get in right now?
97-year-old Edward Wackenfuss, who fell asleep at 6 o'clock in most games while he was playing for the Mariners.
Yeah, that's a problem to me. Those guys don't need to have – those guys – Clarence, we appreciate your phone call.
Yep.
But those guys don't need to have votes. The stuff has to change.
It really does. And look, the Pete Rose thing is never going to go away. But I'm just a guy that, for the most part, I've stuck by my guns on this, and I always will. Look, what he did on the field and the hits that he put in the hit column, You can't take that away. No. Now, as a manager, what he did was completely wrong. But I don't. First of all, whether you agree with that or not, he already served enough time for his punishment. But when you look at what he did on the field as a player and what the Hall represents in terms of what you did statistically and in terms of greatness, there's no greater single hitter in the game that you can put above Pete Rose. You can put guys like Ted Williams alongside of him. You can put a lot of guys alongside of him. But I don't think that anybody trumps Pete Rose from the simple standpoint of his hit record is going to be there for a long time.
A long time. And you can't forget, if you want to ban him from baseball, ban him as a baseball manager.
That's what I mean.
Don't ban him.
Keep him from ever working in the sport again, but you can't take away his performance on the field.
Because how much of his stuff is already in the Hall of Fame? You probably got his bat. You probably got his cleats.
The ball.
You probably got the ball. You probably got jerseys. You probably got a bunch of Pete Rose stuff already in there. But your pride won't let you allow one of the greatest baseball players of all time to get into the Hall. That to me is a shame. That to me is
well, and then okay. So look, here's the other thing. And Trav, I'm not interrupting your flow. I'm carrying on the conversation. But the main thing that you get to too is the whole steroid era, right? Here's my thing. Regardless of where you are on steroids, Barry Bonds had enough accolades and stats
before he
even was rumored or questioned about any kind of steroids to say that man belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Agreed.
So the MVPs, the 5-tool player, the gold gloves, the silver sluggers, the all-star appearances, the home runs and average, and 5-tool player doing it for a long time.
Yep.
Unbelievable for the Pirates. He should be there just simply on those accomplishments. If he could have just walked away, and this might be one for a good discussion, but if he just walked away after his years with the Pirates, he may very well have found himself in the Hall of Fame.
He would have been. No question. No question.
So that's why I said, you know, the whole steroid thing is a whole different animal, and it's an issue all in itself, because if one did it, almost everybody was doing it. If you weren't doing it, then you were missing out, because you can't police all of it or any of it or even parts of it. But yet, there's voters out there that are like, oh, steroids, it was rumored. I think Baggy's getting killed by the fact that there's still innuendo out there that he did, though they never proved it, though they never talk about it. It's just like Big Poppy. Big Poppy's going to take hits because people said he got it all through steroids. He's never been convicted.
Never
been
positive,
proven.
None of that.
Never tested positive. You have. So at that point, base it on what we know as facts.
But and that's the same thing with Barry Bonds. I'm pretty sure Barry's never popped positive for stuff in his system. I mean, we all feel like we know.
Look, Sammy Sosa came into the league as a 180-pound center fielder.
Yeah, I mean, but Sammy also popped positive at one point.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Barry Bonds was never suspended for popping positive. Barry Bonds never came out and popped positive. You got to think, Mark McGwire came out because it was legal at the time and told you.
He used to do interviews with Andro bottles sitting in the locker.
Exactly. And told you, yeah, I'm on Andro. Like, why not? It's not illegal. Why wouldn't I be on it? And told you that.
So, also, those two guys resurrected the sport of baseball.
By themselves.
Yep.
When baseball was down
the dumps.
So if
you're going to be hypocritical,
give back all the money.
Yeah, because no question about it.
Matter of fact, give them the money.
You want to talk about a Hall of Fame? I want to talk about the Hall of Fame of Furniture Shopping, and it starts and ends with Gallery Furniture. My man Mattress Mac and his gang that basically has three unbelievable locations here in the Houston area. Take care of you, the Houston shopper, for furniture. You can do it online. You can shop galleryfurniture.com if you want. Do all your shopping online. Buy today, get it tonight, and it's delivered to your house. It is top quality American-made furniture at a great price, and it's serviced behind the sale. The matter of fact, bar none, main thing you have to take away, Houston owned and operated, top quality American furniture, and they're never going to screw you over after the sale. Once the sale is made, a lot of people wipe their hands, say, hey, thanks for playing, see you later. Anytime, and Travis and I have highlighted this, that we've ever had an issue after making a purchase at Gallery Furniture, they make it right. They make it right away, and they also make sure they take care of their customers, so they're repeat customers. And the only way you do that is by getting quality furniture in the hands of good people at a good price to make sure that they are happy, satisfied, and they come back for more. So if you want to get the best selection at the best prices, Gallery Furniture is open till 10 o'clock tonight as they have holiday shopping going on for their holiday super sale. You can get a Macapedic mattress. I said Macapedic. A lot less money than the Tempur-Pedic, but the same quality. For as low as $19.99, you get a Macapedic mattress. You get an $800 Gallery Furniture gift card on the top, absolutely free. So you can buy pillows, sheets, whatever you want. All part of the deal. Mac takes care of you. And the fact of the matter is, it doesn't stop there. The whole house can be furnished with solid wood dining room tables and furniture, all from Gallery Furniture. And of course, if you buy it today, you get it tonight with no back order slips. Mac is great about making sure that he has the largest selection of living room furniture made in America, as well as recliners that are at 2-for-1 prices, and of course, the Macapedics. So please do me a favor and do yourself an even better favor. Either you head on out to 45 North, exit Tidwell Parker, because Travis likes to hear me say that, or one of the three Gallery Furniture locations, one on Post Oak in the Galleria, one out on Grand Parkway. No back order slips. Buy today, get it tonight. Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Travis and Joel till 4, Nick behind the glass. We're rolling along, covering a lot of ground and kicking some ass. If you want to get in on the show like Clarence did, 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4. You know, we were talking about the whole voting problem. We were talking about the Hall of Fame in baseball, which is where it's really bad. And Jeremy said Barry Bonds was a four-tool player. He couldn't throw Sid Bream out at home. Well, one play does not make a career, as we all know. But at the same time, he was a five-tool player. But I also agree with Trapp. I mean, Ken Griffey Jr. should have been the first unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer in the history of the game.
No question.
Because we talk about it, and we've brought this up on the show before. When you think about the gene pool and how many players' sons have failed miserably, and Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time, and his two sons, one played college basketball.
Both of them did.
Well, at a Division One.
Yeah, both of them played Division One. Because one was at
Central Florida, right?
One was at Central Florida. The other one was at Wake Forest.
One ended up finishing at Illinois, I think.
Yeah, oh, so it's the same one that was at Central Florida?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but anyway, both of them played basketball, but obviously not playing. And you go up and down the line, and it's rare that you get someone from the gene pool that's as good or better than their dad. But we mentioned two of the best of all time, Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
And they got every bit of their dad's brilliance and then created their own.
Yeah.
And this was well before Barry got roped into all the steroid discussions. But the one thing that you and I both agreed on is if there's ever been a guy that's never going to be accused of steroids that had the sweetest swing in the history of the game, that did everything the right way, Ken Griffey Jr., except for wearing his hat backwards. If that's the most that you can say about a guy that in a negative way, then guess what? He's pretty damn good. It still bothers me that he didn't get in as the first ever unanimous. And he's still the first to have as many first place votes as he did. I think it's better than 90%.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's no question he should have been unanimous.
Oh, no question. You know, and when I asked him about it, he didn't really harp on it.
Because he's just a humble, laid-back guy.
Great dude. But I know for me, it would have pissed me off. Like, it would have been like, dude, are you kidding me? I mean, I guess it couldn't piss you off because you're still going in. It's not like you weren't going in. It's not like that shouldn't have been an issue. So, I mean, Griff is a great dude, man. Humble individual. Play the game the right way.
All the time.
I think people started trying to put him in that steroid conversation when he started getting hurt. Then everybody's like, oh, he must be on something. Like, no, come on, man. This guy's done it the right way every time.
Give or take 10, 15 pounds, he was the same frame and the same physique as he had from the day he came in to the day he left.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, the voting has to change. But at the same time, I think we're all in agreement that they got it right. That Lamar Jackson was the right guy.
Yes.
A lot of people now being critical of the fact that he's tweeting out and Instagramming pictures after the fact that he was in the hotel room hanging out with Johnny Football and the trophy. And it was interesting that he didn't have a speech prepared. For the most part, I mean, maybe he did, but he kept it real. I mean, but he also wanted to give everybody a hug on stage, which I thought was the right thing to do because it's showing how much you appreciate the people and you honor the people that have paved the way for you to get there. But Eddie George was interesting to me because he kept saying, son, at some point we need to sit back and talk. Because I think with Manziel being the last guy on the stage closest to the actual announcement, the Heisman Committee is pretty – those ex-winners are pretty staunch on the fact that they don't want this to be a fly-by-night where you don't take it seriously. And I think they want to make sure that everybody honors the privilege of being selected.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to honor the privilege. I mean, he's still a young kid. The kid is 19 years old.
We talked about it on the pre-show.
From Pompano
Beach,
Florida.
He's coming back no matter what.
Yeah, he's from Pompano Beach, Florida. He's never been placed. I guarantee he's never even seen before he got there. He never even seen New York or thought about ever going to New York, let alone being where he was a eye view from the Statue of Liberty. And like, come on, man. I'm pretty sure he's never been there. You know, so like, you got to – all that sit down and talk. Ain't nobody want to hear from Eddie George. Like, Eddie George, sit down. You know, wow. I mean, I understand you want to give him some you know, some
– Yeah, I think some a couple guys were like that, though. They brother. Do want to be big they, brother and, guidance counselors.
And I understand that. But don't do it in his moment. Let him live. Let him do him. Let him get back. Let him get to the point where, you know – He let him get to the point where he gets to enjoy it, sit down, bask in it, then give him a call.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
That's the point. I see your point, for sure. That's why it's a discussion, not an argument. But at the same time, when you look at the whole body of work, as we said before the break, I think he had the highest of highs. You mentioned the eight touchdowns in what, a quarter? And the fact that his lows were not as low as others. You know, when we got down to it during crunch time, Watson had his pitfalls for a couple weeks in a row. The quarterback at Washington threw for 180 yards 2 weeks ago and really started to, you know, to slow down a little bit. Dalvin Cook, as you mentioned, had a couple of bad games, one against Louisville. And the guys from Oklahoma were going to take votes for one another, whether you like it or not, and they came on late because Westbrook's a hell of a talent.
Yeah, he's a hell of a talent, but, I mean, do I put him in the Heisman Trophy talk? No, I think the Heisman Trophy has lost its luster over the last few years. I remember at one point, I mean, you could look at the Heisman, you said, I got Ron Dane over here. I got, like, the names were so big in college football, and they're still big names in college football.
Look at Tony Dorsett. You look at the guys that have won it.
But not even the guys that won it, just the guys that they, even the, not the guys that
were invited.
Won it, the guys that were even invited.
Yeah.
You know, when you go back and look at the year where Charles Woodson won, it's Charles Woodson, Randy Moss, Peyton Manning, and the four of them are still some of the biggest names in college football.
Yep.
So you're telling me like, are you like?
Yeah. So it's even getting watered down on the selection committee as who's going to be there on selection night.
Baker Mayfield. Are we going to be talking about Baker Mayfield 20 years from now?
You don't know, but
I mean, you never know. But I mean, as far he's not a college football.
I think
legend.
You look at five. I think okay. Let me put it to you this way. I think you can go out there and take three to four guys that weren't invited that we may still be talking about 20 years afterwards. And it starts with Leonard Fournette and Dalvin Cook as two of them. Is
yeah,
that fair.
Yeah, no question. I mean, when you look at these guys and you talk about where they've been and who they are, mm-hmm. and you say. I remember when, or I remember who was these guys that were put up against. You got to remember, at one point, Warren Sapp was a Heisman Trophy. He finished fourth in the Heisman voting.
Yeah.
Orlando Pace finished fourth. We're talking about college football legends, real legends of college football.
Both in the Hall of Fame.
Yes. Yes.
The NFL Hall of Fame. Pro
exactly.
Football Hall of Fame.
We're talking about true legends of the game. And for you to invite, to me, he just.
Nick, do you know the only defensive player to win the Heisman?
No.
Oh, man.
Charles Woodson.
You didn't say that.
Yeah, Charles Woodson at Michigan was the only defensive player to ever win it. And then I believe it's still the only guy to win it twice, Archie Griffin at Ohio State.
Yes. So even though, to be honest, James Woodson probably should have won it twice.
Who?
Jameis Winston should have won it.
Oh, Jameis. Yeah, he was in it.
Yep. I think the all the previous stuff that went on. I mean, when you look at guys.
Well, here we go to voting again.
Yeah, exactly. But when you look at guys like Rashawn Salaam, God bless you, who just passed.
Yeah, rest in peace.
You know, who just passed. Like at their Heisman thing, it was Rashawn Salaam. It was Steve McNair, Warren Sapp. Like, these are college football legends.
Yeah. Speaking of the Rashawn Salaam thing, Nick and I were talking about getting guys that played with him or against him or knew him. And it was kind of, the news came on so late in the show, we weren't able to do that. But you inevitably crossed paths with him. Is that something that's a concern now for you guys, ex-players, that are looking at this going, as much as you don't want to consider it, that the life expectancy and things start to worry you a little bit?
Oh, no question. I think when you look at the things that he's been through in his life, I mean, a man died alone and in the park. You know what I mean? And I think you look and say, well, how much, you know, brain disease does this man have? You know, I'm pretty sure they're going to come back and say he had CTE when it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the people that's not – there's a lot of people not doing their jobs to support the guys that need it. The fact is, Rashawn Salaam only played 3 years in the NFL. So he wasn't vested. He couldn't be involved to get, you know, his total and permanent disability from the league and all the other stuff. But he was a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Heisman Trophy, like, you got all this Heisman House stuff and all these things. What were you doing for him? What were you doing for him? Were you giving him away to make some money off? Obviously, you've been selling his name for forever.
Yeah.
Rashawn Salaam, Heisman Trophy winner. You know, what did you do for this kid? What did you do for, you know, you still use his footage from when he played. What did you do for him to help him out? And maybe I don't think that's probably all of it, but I think that's part of it, is the way some of these guys are living when they get done with the game. I think that's an issue that needs to be addressed.
It's a definite concern, and it's, you make a great point, and I think part of it that was done today, you can touch on after the break, as we get ready to put the wraps on this thing. It's a good way to wrap it up, is there was a ruling today that definitely lends itself to helping out former players and some of the struggles that the NFL has turned their shoulder on, a cold shoulder to in a lot of ways, over the years, that now they can't anymore. And they're going to have to start paying their ex-players for all of the damage that was done that is irreversible. So we'll get to that and put a nice big bow on this present on a Monday for you guys. 1-4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Travis, Nick, till 4, one segment to go, and I wanted to touch on this because it kind of leads us in from the last segment, but it's something that Travis is very well versed in that I think it would be best to let him speak on. But there was a very, very important ruling today, and I believe it was the
NFL concussion lawsuit.
Right, but it was to the grand jury?
Yeah, it was
Supreme Court. And basically, in a nutshell, before you get to all the specifics of why it's important and what's coming down to, the NFL, which fought this for years and tried to take care of its ex-players and admit that there's a problem, which has been forced to pay attention to it closer and do other things to be more conducive to the ex-players and to try and help them out. This ruling is going to get the ball not only rolling, but is going to actually financially try and take care of a lot of you guys and ex-players that can attest to the fact that damage is done that is irreversible when you play the sport of football on a professional level.
Oh, well this ruling, I mean, the NFL lost a long time ago. So this ruling, for people who don't understand, the concussion, the case that was being heard was all the appeals. So all the guys who were appealing for either more money or it's not enough or let's add this to it and see what they add to it. So this is basically saying, enough with the appeals. We had dead guys, families that were still suing for more because they couldn't get, you know, they could prove certain things, but some guys couldn't prove it, you know, that their family died early or those or a whole bunch of things. So those got rid of some of those appeals and said, you got to take what's on the lawsuit for you. And so now they're going to start the email I got today. So they're going to start distributing to everybody within the next 30 days. So they said within the next 30 days, people should start getting checks cut to them.
Well, that's pretty quick. I mean, that's a decent turnaround considering awesome. The ruling just came down, right?
No, but think about how much time has gone by while all this was going on and before.
The right. ruling had been the NFL been lost. They lost a long time ago. But what was going on was the appeals for more money and more of this, and really all it came out to was some of these lawyers were trying to get more money out of the big lawsuit pot. So they basically kept appealing and appealing and appealing and appealing. And finally, they said, if you want to do something, you got to file a whole separate one. Like somebody wanted to bring up a CTE. They wanted to have a separate CTE lawsuit. So that was something they had to hear. So that was something they said, the CTE stuff is different than the concussion stuff. You see what I'm saying? So now it's a bunch of stuff that I still don't even understand. And I still got to go back and read a lot of the literature that was sent just today. But within the next 30 days, some guys are going to start getting checks.
I wonder if lawyers are looking at some of the language and they're like, even I don't get what's going on. You know, like,
If I can, I can get my lawyer friend who's, I mean, we'll probably be off the air because it's too fast to turn around.
Maybe tomorrow. Friday.
But on Friday, I'll see if I get I'll get my attorney on.
I think that'd be a great interview.
He's a young kid. He's quick mouthed. I mean, he's kind of annoying at times, but he's actually one of the few guys.
So he's me.
That has read all the briefs and knows all the inside and outside of it. No, he's not you. He's more annoying.
Oh. Well. Sorry for him.
You see that slight dig I just got on my guy? Because we weren't flowing.
We've got to keep the rhythm and flow going at all times.
Hustle and flow.
Hustle and flow. Exactly right. And then we should be funny.
So we should hustle and flow in the living room.
Oh, you mentioned the living room?
Yeah, I love the living room.
Without being a homosexual?
Of course.
And we talk about how good the Packers are?
Oh, man, the Packers are phenomenal.
They're playing good ball right now.
Yeah.
Got to hope. I'm going to
co-sign for you right now.
And then the Badgers at the Cotton Bowl. Western Michigan?
Yeah. That'd be
not the bowl I wanted, but we'll do it. And Florida State got exactly what we thought they'd get, which, again, if you listen to this show Monday through Friday, you're going to be treated to knowledge you don't get anywhere else that's with accuracy. We're normally pretty damn accurate.
We are.
We didn't go over our picks, but I think you did pretty good, right, Joel?
Oh, I know.
And I know I did.
But the one that he's going to hang his hat on is he's the only one that took Army.
Yeah.
Believe me, he let me know about that this weekend.
I was surprised he didn't mention it. He probably did.
Just like I was the only one that took the Packers, and boy, I got something for Keenan when he gets back from Jacksonville. I know. I'm the only one that did. Mr. Emphatic McCardell himself with, I'm going with the Seahawks. And he always comes like, you know, whatever it is, he's always coming at me hard with that. I'm like, boy, you're going to taste a whole lot of sea chicken this week because they handled their business.
But I think my Army pick was better than your Packers pick.
Oh, of course you think that.
But why wouldn't it be? Army hadn't won in 14 years.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah, it's been a long time. They be getting beat up.
I don't remember the spread. Was it like plus? It was plus seven or plus six.
No, it was 3.5.
That's as shocking as the comment he made earlier in the show that you loaded up for us.
What do you mean?
Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Where he wants a little McNair on his Johnson.
Yeah, I got rid of it. He didn't look very happy.
You didn't keep it?
Oh, you supposed to keep? You could have kept that, Nick. Nick, I just was giving you a hard time, man. You could have kept that.
Although the intimidation factor, from Nick's perspective,
can I add McNair on the back of my Johnson?
There, see, we need to log that for all time. You want a McNair on the back of your Johnson? I don't know that all of a sudden you got a back and a front to your Johnson like that, but hey, whatever.
That's because it's so long.
Can I throw this to you guys too? By the way, Okay, stop. Did you see the comments by the U of H president?
What did she say?
So she won, and I don't know how kidding she was, but she said in introducing Major Applewhite that we've set a pretty good business model that 10-2 is what we expect. 8-4 will get you fired. The winning is defined at University of Houston as 10-2. She told faculty and staff at the annual holiday party at her home, we'll fire coaches at 8-4.
Yeah. What?
Renew Couture, the president of the University of Houston, joked, supposedly, but also said in picking Major Applewhite, Think about our business model. We hired the best, got the best out of them, and made money on the exit, she said to the cheers of her adoring alumni. That's our business model. She then took a few shots at ex-U of H coaches when she said, I told them, I hope he does better for you in Tom Herman going to Texas than Kevin Sumlin is doing for A&M or Art Briles did for Baylor.
Don't act like you don't like what they did for your university. Don't.
I was going to say, I mean, for the most part, just
get your panties out the bunch. Like,
ooh, well, now see, I'm not going there.
But I'm just saying, like,
but act like you've been there before.
Not only act like you've been there before, but act like they won you some ball games and they made you relevant when you never would have been relevant.
Female president of a university, you tell her to do what you just did.
What, get your panties out a bunch? I'll tell you that. I don't care who. I don't care who you are.
It's okay if you tell me that.
I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter to me. Like, I'm going to speak my mind.
I tell you to get your G-string out of go time.
Well, there it is. Yeah. But I don't. It doesn't matter. I can say what I want to say. She ain't paying my bills. What she eat don't make me doo-doo.
Evidently, when you've got a front and a back to the G unit. Okay. I wouldn't do that. You do. I don't.
Is she not going to pay my bills this month? She didn't pay him last month.
It's just a little bit sexist.
Why? I tell men get their panties out of bunch.
Right, but that's different.
So why wouldn't I tell a woman get her panties out of bunch? So I say, get your boxers out of bunch then. Would that be the same difference?
Even undies is more middle of the road.
Hey, man, listen.
Well, that would mean that we're middle of the road, and for the most part, at least two-fifths of the time, we do our part.
We always do our part.
Yeah. We try and stay, look, we keep it real. Yeah. And sometimes you can't be middle of the road when you keep it real, like you just did.
Hey, we should end it on hustle and get some hustle and flow music with the.
You can't do this to Nick. It's not fair. It
would have been funny.
Right.
Remember all the content, by the way. We just published your stuff on Demo.
Yeah, by the way, if you missed any part of the show today, and we've got a lot of good content on the Heisman Trophy, on the Demo situation, and more, make sure you get double back and hit the podcast or get to the website, ESPN975.com. Make sure you catch up on what you missed because you don't want to miss what we brought. Hey, the prevent's done. It's time for the Blitz. It's Fred. It's AJ. It's all next on the Blitz right here, ESPN975. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.